Good morning. It's good to be here today. I want you to know that I miss our brother Bob when he's not here, because he's my amen corner guy. And so for Bob, I would like to start out this morning by giving Bob a big amen. Okay, ready? Let's do it together. One, two, three.
Amen.
There you go. There you go. Bob has been an encouragement for me since I got here. And so I really appreciate him. He's got congestive heart failure. We know what that's all about. And we know what causes that, or what how come it comes about. And there is some medication that he can take that helps him. But with Ann and Bob both not doing well, we need to definitely keep them in our prayers, as we should each and every day, along with all those others who are here that are not feeling well. The Whitlows are sitting right there, and we love them. Yeah, we love them. John comes over to see me usually at least once a week, and sometimes a little more than that, and I always really appreciate it. He tells me, he says, "I don't want to bother you." He doesn't ever want to bother me. I said, "John, you never will bother me." I said, "Just keep on coming. Keep on coming and visiting me and talking with me." And we have lots of discussions about the Bible and lots of discussions about things going on, and it's always a very big positive that we do those things. So I really love it. You know, Manny was talking about family. Folks, y'all are my family. Without a doubt, y'all are my family. Y'all are the reason that I'm here. And y'all help me more than you'll ever know how much you help me. You'll never know the encouragement that you give me just by you being here today. And so I thank you all for that. We are really, truly being blessed right now. The number of baptisms that we've had over the last few weeks, the number of people that are coming now, new people that are showing up, we are so thankful for everything that is happening. And I want you to know that it's not because of one person or one group of people. It's because of this family that it's happening. And it's because of the way you feel toward each other and the way each other feels towards you. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing. We are bringing people to Christ. And we need to continue each and every day to do that. That should be our first and foremost goal in our life, is to bring the lost to Jesus Christ so that they may know His saving grace and that they may be blessed by it. And today, that's kind of what I want to talk about. I want to talk about blessings. Blessings that we receive by being one of God's children. We are God's children. That's who we are. We are like heirs with Jesus Christ. If you have been born of the water and the Spirit, if you have been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, raised in the likeness of His resurrection, then you yourself are part of the family of God. You yourself are part of the inheritance that is given to us through God's Son, Jesus the Christ. That's who we are. And I am so grateful and thankful that we have that opportunity to know that we have a place that waits for us, a place in heaven. Now, I want to start off by telling you this, because I've been seeing a lot of things lately that have concerned me about some of the teaching that's out there, that's going around, and it is actually the fastest growing teaching in the U.S. today. The fastest growing. And I want to tell you, it is false teaching. Realize that. It is false. It is not true. And yet, it is growing faster than anything that you can imagine. Large congregations of 100,000 people showing up. These are people who are looking for something, and they're being taught a false doctrine to where everything's all right. I'm all right, you're all right, the world's all right, go home and expect great blessings from God. But the key to that is you have to first give over a lot of money to the church. And if you give over a lot of money to the church, then you end up receiving a lot of blessings. Now I want you to understand that one of these teachers that started all this, he is now a billionaire. He is a billionaire. And he often talks about all these different watches that he has, and he's got this one watch that's worth $400,000. He was talking about diamonds all around and everything. He talks about it in front of his congregation. And I watched him do it one day, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. And he's talking about all these cars that he's got, and these cars are $400,000, $500,000 vehicles. And he's talking about all these cars and all these jet airplanes. He's got four of them. And I go, good night. Good night. And what he tells people is this. If you give over your money, he doesn't say to him, but that's where it goes. If you give over all your money, then you're going to get great blessings. And they found this guy that was also a billionaire that had cancer, and he gave over to this man his cars, his watches. He gave over all this money and everything to this man, to this one individual. He gave over all this to him and expected to be healed because this man told him, said, if you give me this, you'll be healed. He died a few months later. Folks, it's false teaching, false doctrine. And I also want you to realize that that same mindset was among the Jewish people during the life of Christ. They believed, now understand this, they believed that if they were wealthy, that they were being blessed by God. That they were on the good side of God because I have more wealth than the neighbor down the street. I have more than this person. I have more than that person. And therefore God loves me more than they do. Than he does them. And to counteract that, Jesus tells a story. And the story he tells is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Because the rich man had all that he ever needed during his lifetime. And Lazarus had to beg for crumbs from the rich man's table. Well, when they both died in this life, Lazarus was carried off by angels to Abraham's bosom. What happened to the rich man? He went to a place of torment. Jesus tells this story to let people know that it's not what you have here that makes the difference. It's what you have in here that makes the difference. And so Jesus tells them that it's not your wealth here on this earth. It's not your status here on this earth. It is where you are in heaven's eyes. And remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? And he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responded and said, keep the commandments. Y'all remember the story. I've told it many times here. What did Jesus tell that rich man to do? Go and do what? Sell all that you have and give that to the poor, and then you will receive riches where? In heaven. In heaven. Jesus tells us not to lay up here on this earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but rather lay up in heaven. Where moth and rust does not corrupt, nor do thieves break in and steal. The Egyptians had it in their mind that they could take it with them. And so what they did, they built those big pyramids and they put seals on the doors to where nobody could get in, and they put all their wealth in there to carry with them, including, by the way, their best servant. If you were their best servant, they put you in there with them. That was not a good thing to be their best servant. But that's what they did. They believed they could take it all with them. And so they put everything in there. And what really happened to all that wealth and everything? Thieves broke in and stole. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. King Tut is the only one that we have found that thieves didn't break in and steal. You know why? Because evidently, right after he was buried, there was a big flood, and it covered over the entrance to his grave. And they couldn't find the entrance. That's what they think happened. He didn't take it with him. Because there was an individual that found it. It was still right there. So folks, realize that any kind of prosperous teaching like that is false. It's absolutely false. And that idea and that thought dates all the way back past Jesus Christ into the Old Testament, where they believed that if they had wealth, that they were being blessed by God. No. Nowhere in the Scripture does that say that. Nowhere in the Scripture does it allude to this. But I want you to know what it does allude to. What it does teach us. It teaches us this. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Y'all know what that is? Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. You look at that sermon. Jesus in that sermon changes the attitudes or the beliefs of the people of that time. Because he tells them at that point, it's not the physical. It is the spiritual. It's not what's out here, but it's rather what's in here. That's what matters. And because of that physical versus the spiritual, Jesus changes everything for them, and he tells them, you've heard of old, it was like this, but I tell you from the beginning, it was not. Because if you think these things, if you want these things, you've already committed those things. And that was the problem with the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler tells Jesus, he says, I have kept these things since my youth. What lack I yet? In other words, he didn't commit adultery. He doesn't lie. He doesn't steal. He doesn't commit murder. He honors his father and mother. He does all these things that he thinks is going to get him into heaven. And his idea was, I have kept that which is physical. But Jesus' response to him is this: you haven't kept anything that was spiritual. Because you love that which is physical more than you love that which is spiritual. That's why you should go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, so that you will have treasure in heaven. It's here. It's not out here. And anybody that tells you something different is telling you a false doctrine. It's a false teaching. Because Jesus never said at any point or time, if you follow him, you're going to have wealth untold here on this earth. But he always tells us that if you follow him, you will have riches in heaven. That's where we must look. Not here on this earth, but in heaven. Now, the only promise dealing with that that's given to us is this, that we will be taken care of here on this earth. That's the promise that's given to us. But being taken care of here on this earth doesn't mean that you're going to have a brand new bass boat. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean you're going to have a brand new car. Doesn't mean that you're going to have a 5,000 square foot mansion. It doesn't mean that. What it means instead is that your riches are in heaven, and what's going to take care of here is whatever you need will be taken care of. That's why I know that God is going to be there for me, that God is going to take care of me while I'm here on this earth. And folks, I can find joy in that. I can find peace in that. I can find happiness in that. Because I know that I'm going to be taken care of here with whatever I need. And when I go to heaven, I will have riches in heaven. That's where they'll be. That's where they'll be. So today I want to talk about this. I want to talk about what we gain when we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. That's what I want to talk about. And I'm sorry that Ginger's not here this morning, because I want you to know something about Ginger. And if the Rices are watching, keep an eye out. Ginger is an incredibly sweet young lady. She has had her problems. She's had her issues. She lost her daughter very young. She knows suffering. She knows these things. And she came up to me Wednesday night just absolutely out of the blue, and I had been working with her for about a year trying to get her to come to the realization that she needs to be baptized. I've been working with her for about a year on it. And she came up to me while I was sitting at a table over there during our midweek manna. And she said to me, she said, "How would you like to baptize me tonight?" And I said to her, I said, "I would be honored. Do you want to be baptized tonight?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "I need to be baptized." And I also want you to know this about her. Y'all may or may not have seen it if you were here Wednesday night. We had a lot of people here Wednesday night. But you may or may not have seen it Wednesday night. When she came down from that door right there, she had tears in her eyes. When I baptized her, she grabbed hold of me and wouldn't let go. When she came down here and she was talking to people, I let everybody talk to her first. And then when everybody started thinning out, I went over there and talked to her. And she told me, she said, the weight has been lifted from my heart. And she patted her heart just like that. I said, yes, it has. Jesus tells us to come unto Him, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Where do we find rest? Folks, we don't find it here. You know why we don't find it here? I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning and I haven't been back to sleep. I'm hoping that this afternoon I might get a little rest. We'll see. But I want you to know that we're not going to find our rest here. We find our rest in God. We find our rest in Jesus Christ. We have hope. We have an eternity. We have joy. We have peace. We have long suffering. We have understanding. We have forgiveness that has been given to us, and therefore we can give that forgiveness to other people. That's us. That's who we are. And we have that only because we have the Spirit that dwells within us. That's why we have it. So the question that I have here is, what have we gained? Well, let's start with our past. This is what we have gained. In our past, we were dead. Remember, I've talked about the three types of death that we have here. We have physical, spiritual, and eternal. And this is spoken of in the Scripture. Spiritual death, eternal death, physical death. All these things are spoken of in the Scripture. Realize that when we were in sin, before we were baptized, realize this, we were spiritually dead. There was no life in us whatsoever. We were spiritually dead. We were dead in our offenses. Our sins have caused us to be dead. We are not alive at all. We were dead. So in our past, there was no life in us. Notice this also in our past. We walked according to this world. In other words, we walked according to the flesh. Whatever we wanted, that's what we did. That was us. We didn't walk according to God. We didn't walk according to His commands, but we walked according to whatever we wanted. Therefore, being dead in our past, realize also we were without purpose. When you walk not in the light, you walk in darkness. And therefore, you are without purpose. I can ask you right now, what is your purpose? Your purpose is to serve God. That's what it is. Without that, you have no purpose. Notice this also. We were sons of disobedience. We did whatever we wanted to. We had no purpose whatsoever. And what did we do? We went out and disobeyed God. We disobeyed Christ. We disobeyed everything that would save us from our sins. We were sons of disobedience. Without purpose. Without a way. We were completely lost, completely dead. Also in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us this. By nature, we were children of wrath. And I'm going to use this example. Remember how Jesus said, if one would strike you on the right side, what are you supposed to do? Turn the cheek. That is not an easy thing to do. Has anybody struck you on the right side? And you didn't strike them back? Somebody punched me in the nose, guess what I'm typically going to do? Punch them back. Yeah. Folks, that's not what we're supposed to do, is it? Remember, too, if somebody wants to steal from you, if they want your coat, give them your cloak also. Give it to them. Let them have it. And I learned this a long time ago, that it's just stuff. You can get more stuff. Give it to them. Let them have it. Let them have it. Because I can also probably tell you this, that we here in the United States have more stuff than you need. You could furnish probably 3 houses in what's in your house today. It's just stuff. It means nothing. This is an attitude that we must have. But in our past, we had the attitude to strike back. We had the attitude to punish those who would take from us. We had the attitude that we would not take anything from anybody that offended us. And I told you before about people that honk at me. I don't laugh at. Well, I want you to know, just the other day, I had a great opportunity to honk at somebody. No, I didn't do that. But I had a great opportunity to kind of see something kind of interesting. There was a car in front of me, and I was waiting behind that car, and there was a lot of traffic out here. It was out here on Main Street. There was a lot of traffic out here going by. And the car that was in front of me decided that he was tired of waiting. So he pulled out. He pulled out. Now, he probably should have waited for that young lady to go by first, because it was pretty close. But the worst part about it was that she sped up and laid on the horn. And I go, I'm just thankful that wasn't me. She sped up and laid on the horn. And then she rode him as close as she could to his back bumper until he turned off at Walmart. Now, realize that by nature, that's what we are. But by the Spirit, we're not like that. We're forgiving. If somebody pulls out in front of you, slow down. Don't lay on the horn. Realize that we should forgive as we have been forgiven. Okay? Take a look at our present. In our present, we have been washed. We have been sanctified. We have been justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. This is what has happened with us. There is not one person that is not sinful. Not one. But because we have been washed, we have been sanctified, we have been justified in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, because of that, then we have the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And therefore, when somebody pulls out in front of you, you don't have to get upset about that. You shouldn't get upset about that. Because we have a place that's better than anything that you can ever imagine that waits for us right now. This is our present. Our present is also this. We are free from the bondage of sin and death. You don't have to worry about that spiritual death. Why? Because we've been raised in the likeness of His resurrection. And by being raised in the likeness of His resurrection, we walk in the newness of life. This is us today. We have been set free. 1 Corinthians 15:22 tells us this, that Jesus Christ is the reason that all of us will be made alive again. In our past, we were dead. In our current status, we are alive. Which brings us to the last points that I want to make. Our future. We have been saved through the grace of God. We are saved through the grace of God. By this, I want you to see this. In the future, there is reserved for me, for you, for all of us here, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to everyone on that day. And not only us, but all those who have loved His appearing. Folks, I want to tell you about these prosperity gospel teachers. Which I'm telling you that what they're teaching is false doctrine. But I also want to tell you this about them. They're actually teaching something that is true. The problem is, they've got their dates mixed up. Because the prosperity that we receive is not here on this earth. The glory that we have obtained is not here. The treasures that we will receive are not here. They are in heaven. So realize, when we talk about prosperity teaching, we are not talking about you giving a dollar here and expect $10 in return. That's when you invest in Walmart or something. Folks, that's not what it's about. This isn't something that I can invest in and get a big return on. No, not here on this earth. But the return that we have that's waiting for us is far greater than anything that you can imagine. And that's why the little bit of suffering that we have here on this earth, the little bit of overcoming temptation that we have here on this earth, the little bit of doing what God wants us to do while we're here on this earth is so small in comparison with the great gifts that we have that are waiting for us in heaven. Our past is gone. Our purpose is today to serve God, and our future is heaven. Let's strive each and every day for that prosperity. Let's strive each and every day for that future, because that's where our treasures are laid up. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need for baptism, we want to give you that opportunity to come while together we stand and sing.